What's up, man? All right, guys. Today's video is titled, When God Gives You Lemons, You Make Lemonade. So as you guys know by now, my situation in Medellin with the new restaurant is abnormally bad. It's as if God went out of his way to fuck with me, like I said in my past couple of videos. For example, today I only made 60 pesos, or about $15, being there for 10 plus hours, and it's like not getting any better. And I was able to get logos and stickers, as you guys can see in the photo. So like I said, every dollar you guys donate goes to actual something that you can see with your eyes. Now, my goal of raising $1,000 looks like it may not be met. So there's a big chance that I might have to come back to America after tomorrow and do DoorDash. I'm probably gonna go to Tallahassee, because Tallahassee was really good for DoorDash. So I might go to Tallahassee, or I might go to Orlando, spend 15 plus hours doing DoorDash, and you know, hopefully make $1,000 by the end of this month. So getting to the point of this video, guys, when God gives you lemons, make lemonade. I am making the best out of this situation where I'm just not making any money in the restaurant. Now, it is abnormally weird because every day scores of people, for those of you who don't know, scores is like saying multiple 20s of people, you know, kind of like a dozen is 12, score is 20. Most of you don't know that. I know Coach Bitchville doesn't know that. So scores of people pass by my restaurant every day and they don't even look at my restaurant. And everybody is telling me this is like really abnormal, man. It's like you have the best spot in the whole mall. Like where my restaurant is actually the best place in the mall. If you're coming in from the parking lot, I'm right there. If you are coming up the escalator, I'm right there. And yet people pass by me, by probably at least 100 plus people pass by me every day. They don't even stop to look. And it's like God is fucking with me, you know. And that's how he rolls, guys, you know. God is gonna see. God is, I'm beginning to realize that, you know, God is like talking to us through music, you know. God is a woman, you know that song by Ariana Grande. I think God really does act like a woman. I wonder if God is a woman, but he definitely acts like a woman, you know. Like God in the Quran says, don't depend on anybody else but me and only me, right? You kind of like how a woman says, I want a guy who's gonna love me, worship me, buy me flowers, call me up every 10 minutes. And when a woman gets a guy like that, what does she do? She calls him abusive, jealous, controlling, manipulating. He's smothering her. He is a creep. He is a stalker. Yet the guy who doesn't even know her name gets the best of her. This is exactly how God operates. The closer you are to God, the closer you are to God, the more he abuses you. Yet people like Andrew Tate, Dan Bilzerian, people who don't even think about God are blessed, you know? Do you think Andrew Tate, Dan Bilzerian wake up every morning and think about, what am I doing today? How am I serving God? How am I not gonna upset God? Like, you know, one of the cooks who's gonna work for me, she told me, hey man, if you sell cerdo, which is pork, you're gonna make a lot of money here. I told her, no, I am Muslim. I'm not gonna sell pork. Do you think Andrew Tate, Mufti Mink, Sneeko, Dan Bilzerian, do you think any of these guys would have said no? Of course not. They don't care. Yet God blesses those type of people, you know. Even during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, when the Muslims would go to war and they would get the spoils of war, the Prophet Muhammad would actually give more money, more goods to the mere Muslims, you know, the people who didn't fight or literally stood on the sidelines, you know, like watching a baseball game or something. And he would either not give or give very little to the people who've been in multiple battles, to the people who actually got cut and, you know, slayed in the battle. And the reason behind it is that the Prophet Muhammad would tell these people, we have to alif kulub an-nas. We have to change the hearts of these people so we become extra nice to people who literally have no skin in the game. So as you guys know, I'm the pastor's son. I've seen it all. I can't tell you the number of times somebody, non-Muslim, mainly black, would come to our mosque, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah, and everybody's like, Takbir, Takbir, he's now one of us. And then a couple of days later, he's like, hey guys, I need help paying my rent. Can somebody help me with the rent? They donate thousands of dollars, and then you never ever hear from the guy ever again, you know? And they keep on doing it over and over and over. It's as if they don't learn. And that's exactly how God operates, you know. He keeps rewarding those who could care less about him, while people like you and me who worship him, think about him. He treats us like a narcissistic woman who discarded somebody who's no longer useful to her anymore. You have to remember, you and I, as faithful Muslims, we are already in the bag. God already got us, okay? Now he wants to chase after Andrew Tate. He wants to chase after Dan Bilzerian. He wants to chase after people who, quite frankly, don't give a fuck about him, you know? And you Christian people, it's the same damn thing. I don't care what anybody says. The God of Muhammad is the God of Jesus. So if it's happening to me, it's happening to you Christians out there, you know? So don't think this is a Muslim thing where the God of Muhammad will use and abuse those most loyal to him. You know, that's the same God that does the same thing to you guys, you know? So the biggest mistake, guys, I've ever did, the biggest mistake I've done in my 23 years of being alive, well, not being alive, you know, 23 years of moving out in my own since October of 2003, you know, I'll go on to, you know, 22 years, you know. The biggest mistake I've done in over 22 years, guys, was rely on God. That was the biggest mistake I ever made. You see, big truck coming behind me. You see, guys, God in the Quran will tell you, love me, adore me, rely on me and only me. But again, that's the equivalent of a woman saying, I want to be worshipped, I want to be loved. And then when you do all that, you know, she throws you in the garbage can, you know. So it's the same thing with God, you know. Now, 22 years later, I have finally come to the conclusion that God really doesn't want you to make him the center of your universe, okay? Let me say that one more time for all the yogi olves and all the coach bitch pills out there who are too low IQ to understand things first time around. God does not want you to make him the center of your universe. Why? Because when you make a woman the center of your universe, what ends up happening is that now she feels, and quite frankly, rightly too, by the way, she feels that she's obligated to perform, that she is obligated to provide you, right? This is why when a guy has a one-nighter for a girl, she throws him away simply because she does not want to meet his expectations. It's the same thing with God. God does not want you to rely on him because he does not want to meet your expectations, you know? Like, for example, how many times does God tell us, oh, if you pray to me, I will grant you whatever you want? How many people can honestly raise their hands and say, yes, God has granted me whatever I want? No, he doesn't do that, you know? I'm actually worse off now than I was 22 years ago when God let me go homeless, you know? At least back then, I could do work as fucking background extra or something off of Craigslist. But here in Colombia, you know, where I'm not getting any business whatsoever, or I'm getting like the equivalent of like $5, $10, I'm relying on you guys. So this video is for all of you young Muslims out there in your early 20s. Don't end up like me, okay? Don't end up like me, being 45 years old, spending 22, 20 plus years of your life thinking that God has a special plan for you and that eventually you're gonna be a success and stuff like that. No. It doesn't work like that. I am actually worse off today than I was 22 years ago. You know, I lost my health, I lost my wealth due to an accident that's totally not my fault. And what I recommend for you young Muslims out there to do is just live your life, guys. Just live life the way you want to live your life. Do as you shall. Now, I'm not telling anybody here to go out and drink alcohol, eat pork. Though if you actually do that, you know, God might actually be nice to you to bring you back, you know. But at the end of the day, guys, yeah, the traffic lights here, man, they work on a timer, you know. Unlike in America, they don't have a sensor. They work on a timer. So they either all come together or they either all stop together. So you young Muslims out there, live life like you want. Of course, you know, if you look at Islam or Christianity or even Judaism, it's actually common sense, you know. It's really common sense, you know. There's nothing in there that's like, you know, this is too hard for me to do. I can't do that. You know, like I said, pray 5 times a day. Fast Ramadan. Go to the masjid on Fridays if you can. And twice a year, show up for Eid festivities and go hello, and you're gonna be fine, okay, guys? Like, you know, I told you about my second cousin who worked as a truck driver, he invested early in Bitcoin back when Bitcoin was a couple of $100s, and now he's living his best life out in the most expensive city in all of Egypt, and he'll never ever have to work another day in his life, you know, all because he got lucky by getting early in on something. Okay, did he get lucky? Because damn it, all the cars come together, guys, they all come together, you know. So one more car. So did my Egyptian cousin who got lucky with Bitcoin and now a multi-millionaire living his best life in Egypt, never having to work a day in his life, did he attain that wealth because he said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Nope, he didn't, you know. How many guys do you guys personally know who live their best life and to them God is not even top 10 or even top 100 on their list? Like, I know so many Muslims who drink alcohol, they eat the pork, even though the pork is a fucking dirty animal if you ask me, yet God has blessed these people, and they sell the alcohol, they sell lottery tickets, they do everything haram, you know, they don't say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you know. Yeah, sure, they might say it in prayer because, you know, that's part of the prayer, but they don't stand up for Allah or Muhammad, you know. They never will, they never do that, they never did that, but yet these are the type of people that God blesses at the end of the day. So the question we got to ask ourselves is kind of like a communism, right? Like, communism sacrifices the most loyal people to it. It's the same thing with God. God sacrifices the most loyal people to him. And Job, the prophet Job, is the ultimate example of this, you know? What? Like a guy on MGTOW TV said, what? Like a guy on MGTOW TV said, why didn't God do all this bad stuff to somebody like Pharaoh who claimed to be better than God, yet God's most loyal subject, Job, he lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost his family, you know? And the thing, you guys, I have to understand, losing money is one thing, but losing your entire family, even though God supposedly gave him better family, better money, better health, but honestly, can you really expect somebody to just take away your family and then give you another family and be like, hey, I got a better deal on it? It's like, it doesn't work like that, man. Like, for example, you know, the Mercedes-Benz that got destroyed in the car accident, I love that car, but the second I can get another one, a better one, I'm gonna totally forget that Benz. I mean, do you think Job, who lost his family, when he got the second family, he was like, all right, God, this family is better than the one I had before, you know? So, at the end of the day, guys, it's all about putting up with God's bullshit. That's really what it comes down to. And, you know, with Satan, you will win this world with Satan, you know. Now, with God, supposedly, you will win the hereafter with God, supposedly. But like a person on MGTOW TV said, you know, God can change his mind and say, yeah, well, not today, you know. God tells us you can go to him with a mountain of sins and he can forgive it all, you know. Imagine somebody like Andrew Tate, you know, saying, hey, God, can you do me a big favor and forgive me? And God's like, okay, Andrew, you go to heaven, you know. And then somebody like you and me, who all of our life we dedicated ourselves to God, and then God's gonna be like, hey, man, you remember that day you looked at that hot girl, you looked at her, you looked at that big booty Latina? Yeah, yeah, you're gonna go to hell for that one. And you know, God can do that, you know. So you guys out there gotta ask yourself, do I join Team Satan and get worldly positions for, you know, 70, 80 years? Or I continue putting up with God's bullshit and, you know, hope to God that I get an eternity of, you know, some sort of decency, you know? So, at the end of the day, guys, you young Muslims out there watching this video, guys, please stop listening to all these bread tubers, all these Muslim grifters on the internet who just want to take your money. They all have the same message. Give me your money so I can continue doing this dua, and God will bless you if you give me money. Like, all these bread tubers out there, I don't care if they're Mufti Mink, I don't care if they're on fucking Launch Good, where these Muslims are like, give us money to build a well and shit like that. Do you see with your own eyes what they actually did with your money? No, you don't. With me, you saw with your own eyes, okay? You saw with your own eyes that I bought stickers and logos for my business. You guys saw that with your own eyes, you know? If you look at my past videos, those stickers were not there, you know? So, at the end of the day, guys, you young Muslims out there, don't stress yourself about concentrating on God, okay? I remember a year ago, well, not a year ago, but almost a year ago, I was reading one of the comments in Gabriel Romani's Instagram post. And one of the guys there said, hey, Gabe, I took your advice. I woke up in the morning, I read Quran, then I slept a little bit, then I prayed Fajr, then I read Quran until the sunlight. I've been doing this for a month so God can bless me, but my health has greatly deteriorated in the past month, you know. And honestly, that comment really broke my heart, guys, because how many young, impressionable Muslim men who have miserable lives, how many of them actually think that these grifters on the internet who tell them, oh yeah, bro, you know, I wake up like at 3:30 in the morning, I read some Quran, then I go to back to bed at like 4:07, and then an hour and 2 minutes later, I wake up, I read, I pray Fajr, then I read Quran until the sun comes up, and then after that, I go to the gym and run 20 miles, you know, and lift 500 pounds, right? Do you guys think these people really do any of that bullshit? Of course not. They just sell to you the fact that you too can be just like them if you buy their yo, homie, yo, I'm alpha course, you know? And yet, at the end of the day, these grifters who have turned Islam into nothing more than a grift, a scam, those are the people living their best life. And somebody like me who dedicated himself to God for 22 plus years, here I am begging you guys on the internet for money, you know? But I can't stress this enough, guys. Don't go joining the other team, okay? Don't become an atheist. Become like a purple pill Muslim. Yes, you are aware of God, but you're really not putting much of an effort into being a super Muslim, you know? Really, honestly, that would be the point of this video. Just be a moderate. Don't try to be some sort of a Muslim superstar, because if you try to be a Muslim superstar, again, that's like a nice guy getting too close to a narcissistic woman, you know. It's not gonna end well for you. So I'm actually happy, you know. Before I decided to beg for money on the internet from you guys, I was very, very ashamed of it. Like, come on, God. It's like, I'm relying on you, dude. Like, my restaurant's been open for 2 weeks, you know. Hundreds of people pass by me every day, you know. You can send, like, a couple of them my way, you know. So I was very ashamed of begging for money from you guys. But I just came to the realization that I think I, God damn it. I know what happened. Usually I hang right here to get to Setenta, but I was too busy making this video that I overflew the right turn. That's fine. The rain slowed down a little bit. I probably have to walk back, you know, 5 or 6 minutes. So going back to what I was telling you guys before I finally end this video is that, God does not want you to rely solely on Him, you know. A lot like how a woman will tell you, oh, I want a man all to myself, and I'm the center of his universe. And then the minute she gets a dude like that, she runs away. It's the same thing with God, you know. God just wants you to go out. You know, I remember watching an episode of Futurama where they thought that Bender was God, and the people who thought Bender was God, they're like, Bender, you don't do anything. And Bender's like, damn right I don't do anything. And then Bender meets the real God, and the real God is like, what are you doing here, Bender? Bender is like, well, I'm looking for you so I can, you know, change my ways or something, you know. And God's like, I don't do anything, bro. Just keep it moving. And you guys need to understand there's a lot of truth about God in movies and music. Even though music and movies are supposed to be haram, there's a lot of truth about God in music and movies, especially that song by Ariana Grande. God is a woman. He definitely acts like one, I can tell you that for sure now. Satan and God are kind of like the enemies of each other. They're kind of like two sides to the same coin. Good cop and bad cop, you know. Think about Superman versus the Joker. Superman and the Joker, they are more alike than not alike. It's just that Batman went through a way where he couldn't stand people like Joker, and Joker went through a way where he couldn't stand people like Batman who wanted, you know, order and what have you, you know. So at the end of the day, guys, Batman and Joker are more similar than alike. It's just that the paths they took, the path that they were subject to, made them different from one another. But at the end of the day, you know, in damn cars. And end of the day, guys, the best movies out there are the ones where the antagonist and the protagonist, you know, the bad guy, the good guy, are pretty much the same size, the same coin, but different sides. Those make the best movies, like Rocky, you know. Apollo Creed, he wanted to win no matter what, right? Rocky wanted to go the distance no matter what, you know. If Rocky was some bum who's like, yeah, I'll just take a fall, collect my paycheck and go home, the movie would not be a success, you know. So the best movies out there is where the protagonist and the antagonist, the bad guy, the good guy, are pretty much the same, except their moral compass is different. It's the same thing with God and Satan. It's the same exact thing with them. Now, with Satan, you get to win this world. With God, you get to win the hereafter. So, the question that you guys have to be asking yourself is, how do we win this world and the hereafter? And you do that by not trusting in God 100%, okay? Yeah, sure, trust that God is gonna provide for you, even though your paycheck comes from Steve Jobs, you know. Do not trust 100% in God, because he doesn't like that, guys. God does not like it when you rely on him and only him. And the reason is behind it, which is actually a good reason, by the way. If you rely only on God, and God actually ends up providing for you, you become complacent. Like, that's my problem. That's the core of my problem. For 22 plus years, I have relied on God, solely on God. And that only made things worse, you know? Like, right now, the fact that I have to beg for from you guys for $5, $10, shit like that, this is like the lowest point of my life right now. And that's because I became too complacent by saying God will take care of it. God has a special plan for me, when in reality, none of that shit is true, you know? So, what I'm gonna do now is that I'm gonna hire someone. I'm gonna come back to America and hope to God the restaurant does well when I'm in America. And I'll work my ass off doing DoorDash 12, 13, 14, 15 hours, and put money back in the restaurant until it takes off, you know? And yeah, I'm gonna pray, but the reality of the matter, guys, I'm not gonna be reliant on God 100% for anything. Because again, God does not like it. He does not like it because if he was able to provide to you, you will become complacent and you will rely on him for everything. And he doesn't like that, you know. Again, the people who tell you, MashaAllah, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, where's your paycheck coming from? Yeah, it's coming from Steve Jobs. It's coming from, I don't know, fucking the government. It's not coming from God, is it, right? Like, when I'm at the restaurant, my paycheck is coming from God. It's not coming from the mall. It's not coming from, you know, somebody else. My paycheck is coming from God, you know. The hundreds of people who pass by me every day, hey, if they came to my restaurant, then I'd be, you know, because here's the thing, guys. Like, the average restaurant there makes 1,000,000 pesos a day. That's 250 American dollars a day. I'm making less than 10% of what they're making, you know. So what does that tell you, guys? This is very, very abnormal, you know. Somebody's fucking with me, right? And that person is God. And the reason behind it is, again, I became too complacent. I trusted so much in God that I thought that God was gonna bless me. But in reality, God actually wanted me to go out, do my own thing, and not rely on him so much. So, just like all the other Muslims out there, yeah, sure, I'll go to the masjid on Fridays if I can. Yeah, sure, you know, I'll show up for the two Eids, go hello, ya hello. Yeah, sure, I'll fast Ramadan. But anything more than that, nah. In fact, a man came to the Prophet Muhammad, who's a leader of a tribe. He came to the Prophet Muhammad, and the man said to the Prophet Muhammad, hey, if I pray, fast, give to the poor, you know, go to Hajj, believe in God, and, you know, Judgment Day, you know, like 7 things, will I go to heaven? The Prophet Muhammad said, yes, you will. And then the man said to the Prophet Muhammad, I will do no more. Me and my tribe will do not a single thing more. And then the man got up, went to ride on his horse, and he left. And the Prophet Muhammad said to his companions, if this guy is true to his words, he will go to heaven. Guys, this is Islam telling you in no uncertain terms, God does not want supermen. He does not want King David. He does not want, you know, Jesus Hitler, you know. He just wants you to do your thing, live your life, and just say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah, every now and then, knowing full well that your risk, your not risk as in, you know, risky business, but the word risk in Arabic means, how do I translate risk from Arabic to English? Risk in Arabic, it basically means your fortune, your luck, doesn't come from God, you know. It comes from, I don't know, Bill Gates or something like that. But just say thank you, God, you know. Because you got Bill Gates you're working for. So. Ah. Almost got ran over. So. Yeah, guys. So, at the end of the day, man. And I'm really stressing this out to a lot of you young Muslim dudes out there. Especially you guys who have lives that suck. And you're going to all these Muslim grifters who'll tell you, ah, yeah, bro, send me money so I can give you the yo, homie, yo course on being a Muslim alpha. And God will bless you because you're giving me this money so I can do da'wah, and then things actually get worse and worse for you. Yet the people you know who drink alcohol, sell alcohol, you know, borrow money from the bank, and they pretty much do everything wrong and bad, you know, they're living their best life, while you get to live a miserable life that just gets worse and worse and worse. Bottom line, guys, become a purple pill follower of God. That's the bottom line, okay? Don't be Jesus superstar, rock star, or any of that stuff. Just be conscious of God. Follow your common sense, really. That's what it boils down to. Show up at the masjid for Friday prayers if you can. And, you know, twice a year, celebrate Eid by going hello, hello, you know. And really, that's all you guys really need. And from now on, that's really what I'm going to do, you know. I try to pray I try to pray every Friday at the masjid. And there are guys that I see at the masjid maybe once a month. And they're living their best life. And here I am going to the masjid every day. And things just get worse and worse for me, you know. So what does that tell you guys? The core problem here is that you are relying too much on God. He doesn't like that. Just like a woman who doesn't want you to make her the center of the universe, even though she tells you, I want you to make me the center of the universe. Don't become a woman center of universe, okay? Do not make a woman become the center of your universe, okay? Same thing with God. Do not make God the center of your universe. You become complacent and you'll actually expect a lot from him. And he just wants to, quite frankly, like, not do anything. And that's about that. I thought there was a dog, but there's a guy zipping up a couple of garbage bags. I thought that was like a dog sneaking up on me. You know, fortunately, there's no bulldogs here, you know. Like, the dogs here in Colombia, they really don't have any dangerous breeds of dogs here in Colombia, man. Like, if a dog sneaks up on you here in Colombia, act as if you're gonna pick up a stone and you're gonna like throw it at it, and that will make the dog run away. So yeah, guys, that's my video for you guys. If any of you guys want to help out with the campaign, not the campaign, it's pretty much at this point, honestly, it's just whatever money I can get. Like, the next phase would be getting more pictures, menus done. That's really the next phase of what I need for the restaurant. Like I said, in all likelihood, I probably will have to return to America in the next few days. Maybe God will bless my restaurant tomorrow. Since I'm becoming proactive and I got those logos and shit like that, maybe God will be like, all right, he did enough. Let me send a couple people his way. Maybe God will do that tomorrow, you know, hopefully. But if he doesn't, then I have no choice but to go to America, like, after tomorrow. So, honestly, guys, we're like 6 or 7. I know a lot of you got, well, not a lot, but a number of you guys have already donated on, you've already donated on Zelle, Venmo, and again, the money you guys have donated, you've seen it over there, getting the logos and shit like that. And yeah, next up, guys, would be paying the rent and hopefully getting a point of sale system. Because if I go back to America, obviously I'm gonna take my laptop with me. I'm not gonna leave my MacBook Pro here, you know. I'd prefer not to leave it here, but if I have to leave it here as a point of sale system, then so be it. So you guys have to keep in mind that literally every dollar counts. Like, I'm at that point right now where I would say $100 can make or ruin me. That's just how bad of a situation I'm in right now. And to be honest with you guys, I'm not mad at God. I'm really not mad. You know, you'd think that after 22 years of suffering, struggling, sacrificing, especially when God throws you a bone, then he takes it away. Like, I never thought my initial YouTube channel would take off, but when it did, man, I was getting 200 subscribers a day, making thousands of dollars, and then all of a sudden, boom, gone. Then last year, when our truck got invited to downtown Jensen Beach, we went from making like a couple hundred dollars a month to making $10,000 a month. And then a lawsuit happened and they got us evicted from downtown Jensen. And we never recovered from that with the food truck, you know. So that's really the worst, guys. The worst is when God throws you a bone and then he takes it away from you. It's like, why, God, why, you know? And yeah, so just rely on yourself, rely on other people, and just do the whole Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah, Hello, Ya Hello. And yeah, that's really about it for you guys. So like I said, guys, if anybody wants to help out, like fucking, you know, if I make like $400, maybe $500, I'll stay here in Colombia, toughen it out. But if I don't make that amount, then I'd probably have to come back to America after tomorrow. Fortunately for me, I have so many reward points with Spirit Airlines that my tickets only cost me $100, you know. I got that money saved aside. You know, if I don't have money to get back to America, I'm like, you know, I might as well start begging in the streets if I don't have money to come back to America. You know, that just shows you how bad things are for me. And I'm powering through it, man. It's like, in a way, I kind of feel good because I'm like powering through all this stuff that, you know, I honestly think that what I went through, if like a normal, you know, if somebody who got his paycheck from Steve Jobs or somebody who's accustomed to selling alcohol and making a shitload of money, you know, or somebody who won the cryptocurrency scam, you know, they lucked out, like my second cousin who was a truck driver. And if these people went through what I went through, I think it would have broken them, you know. But here I am, man, toughing it through. I mean, this could have ended in a catastrophe, guys. This could have ended in a catastrophe. Like, worst case scenario, I'll hire somebody, hop back to America, work my ass off, and start putting money back into the restaurant. We got security cameras, we got lawyers, accountants, so the chances of having somebody stealing from me is very, very, very low. And the lady we're gonna hire, she's also gonna work with bonuses as well. So if the restaurant does well, she'll do well as well. So yeah, I'm just really happy that, again, the MGTOW community came for me. Like I said, you know, I may not have gotten $3,500 or even $1,000 so far, but literally every dollar you guys send helps. Like, $5 can buy chicken for two or three orders, you know. $15 can pay for a couple of logos and stuff like that, you know. So I'm gonna find out tomorrow night if I need to come back to America or not. Eventually I am gonna come back to America, yes. Like, the lady that I'm gonna hire, her contract is up end of the month. That means I can hire her on the 1st of June. So in a perfect world, I'd be able to raise a little bit more money from you guys. And then, you know, the restaurant hopefully starts taking off because of the logos and shit like that. And then I can stay here until, you know, the 3rd of June, and then go back to America, grind it out if I need be, and then hopefully that will be the start of my restaurant doing well. That's really best case scenario, guys. Worst case scenario, assuming my restaurant is not doing well tomorrow and I just don't get any more money from you guys, then on the 23rd I'm gonna have to come back to America for a week, go from the airport directly to either Tallahassee or Orlando and just do DoorDash 15 hours a day, hopefully raise, you know, enough money to pay for the restaurant and shit like that. So right now, guys, I am relying on you and to a certain degree God. Tomorrow brings me customers, so we will see, guys. I will let you know how many decades have they been playing that song. Oh yeah, look at that. You know, you guys want to know the funny thing about those buses are? It's usually fat, ugly people on those buses, you know. So I'm gonna let you guys know, God willing, of course, 24 hours from now, if I have to come back to America after tomorrow or I can stay here. Like I said, in a perfect world, I'll stay here for about 2 more weeks. And June 3rd, I'll come back to America after I hired and everything is done right. The only way I can do that is we just make more money, really. You know, whether I get that more money from you guys or my restaurant, God willing, starts doing well tomorrow because of the logos and shit like that. That would really be best case scenario. And I'm going to put down the links of how you guys can support. You know, there's obviously Fundocrat. You can support there. I know you guys go on Fundocrat. You see $145 out of $3,500. And you guys are like, yeah, no, this is going to be a total failure. It's not, guys. Like I said, worst case scenario, I'll hop on a plane after tomorrow, come back to America, grind it for a week, come back, hire this girl for 3 days to you know, show her how to do the shit we do, which a monkey can fucking do, you know, and then just go back to America and grind it out back in America. But I prefer not to do that. I prefer to stay here for the next 2 weeks. But the only way I can do that is if we just make more money. So again, you guys probably see the campaign raising $145 out of $3,500, and you're like, yeah, that's probably a lost cause. It's not. If we raise, realistically speaking, guys, if we raise like $600 by tomorrow, I'll stay here. If not, then I've got to leave after tomorrow to America for at least a week or maybe 10 days until that girl, you know, is able to work for me. I come back here for a couple of days, get her going, and then I'll go back to America and be on standby if the restaurant wants any money. Best way to support me, guys, Cash App, Open Taxi, Venmo, amr.met@gmail.com, PayPal, amar.met@gmail.com as well. And like I said, guys, $500, $600, I'll stay here. If not, worst case scenario, I'll go back to Miami for a week, or, you know, actually I'll land in Miami, but I'll go to like Orlando and Tallahassee. The reason why I'll never ever do DoorDash in Miami or South Florida is because of the Haitians, okay guys? Let me tell you something. Haitians in South Florida actually make less as Uber drivers than fucking drivers here in Colombia. Let me tell you one more time. Haitian drivers in America make less money in dollars than Colombian drivers here. Guys, when I'm in America and I take an Uber, I get picked up almost solely Haitians, you know? And I see how much they're making, you know? Because Uber sends them a trip in advance. And I see they're making like $2, $3, you know, here. I look at their smartphone and these guys are making $4, $5 per trip. So literally, these guys in Colombia are making twice the amount in US dollars as a Haitian in Miami. And here's the thing. Like, when I request a ride here in Colombia, it only cost me $1.50. Like, most of my rides in Colombia are under 6 pesos, which is $1.50. Yet the drivers make, you know, $4, maybe $3 or $4 in America. So what Uber is doing is that they're literally stealing from drivers in America and giving that access money to the Colombians, to the Colombian drivers, while subsidizing my trip by taking money from American drivers. So all you Americans out there who complain about Uber taking your money and not treating you fairly, Yeah, they take that money, they give that extra money to Colombian drivers just to onboard them, and then they subsidize people like me to use the service over there. You know, Uber is number one in America, but here in Colombia, they're really not. So what they do is they incentivize drivers by giving them more money, and they subsidize the riders so the riders can continue riding with them. And how they are able to do that is that they do that by fucking you drivers back in America. Anyway, guys, this video is getting to be an hour long, and I'm going to talk to you in another video. Take care. Peace.